the mRNA injection is specifically designed to disrupt and destroy human reproduction. This is a mass murder. You know, this is just a mass murder. I'm not overstating. It's the number of people. Ed Dowd has estimated that 1 million Americans a month are identifying themselves as disabled. The excess deaths are in the, you know, multiple millions worldwide.
The victory of Trump was supposed to put an end to all of that. We were going to see mass arrests. And now that's gone nowhere as far as I can tell.
It does seem like a lot of theater, and it's demoralizing.
Welcome to today's interview here on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, and we are joined today by Dr. Naomi Wolf, who just prefers to go by Naomi. And she, of course, is a bestseller. She's been on so many shows over all the years. Her website is dailyclout.io, and she's very outspoken, an outstanding analyst. I followed many of her videos. She joins us today to talk about what's going on in the world. Welcome, Naomi, to the show today. It's an honor to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. And as I mentioned before we began, I wanted to start talking about mRNA and some of the research that you have worked with to expose what really happened during COVID. Can you give our audience a quick overview of your understanding of that issue right now?
Sure. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a nonfiction writer. But circumstances sort of forced me into a new role about 4 years ago. I'd been a best-selling writer of books about women's issues and civil liberties my whole career. But then in 2021, I was deplatformed for accurately noting, which is the kind of work I've done my whole career, that women were experiencing menstrual difficulties upon receiving mRNA injections for COVID. And I was deplatformed actually by the Biden White House, by X, by YouTube, by, you know, Facebook, by all the platforms. It turns out to have been completely correct. Sadly, a great deal of research has confirmed terrible reproductive harms from the injections. But as a result of that deplatforming, I no longer had legacy media to talk to. And the only platform that would talk to me was Bannon's War Room. And Bannon had me on to hear about my concerns and my findings about harms to women from the injection. But he also, in 2022 and 2023, when a successful lawsuit by Aaron Seary against the FDA led to a judge insisting that the FDA release these 450,000 documents that had been internal Pfizer documents leading up to the release of the mRNA injection, Bannon knew that these documents would be lost to history unless we could get experts to crowdsource reading through them. So he asked me to put out the call, you know, live. I really had no choice. So I said, sure. And we got 3,500 doctors and scientists, highly credentialed people, to spend the next 2 years pro bono going through these voluminous documents and writing what are now 109 reports. You know, detailing what they found. And what, unfortunately, what they found was the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history. And unfortunately, with a special focus, the mRNA injection is specifically designed to disrupt and destroy human reproduction, among many other very serious side effects and deadly side effects.
And since then, I would say that with some of the data analysis by people like Ed Dowd and others, and you and your group, leading the way on that, it's been confirmed. Your initial concerns have been confirmed, haven't they?
Unfortunately, yes. In the Pfizer documents, there's sort of a holistic attack on human reproduction. So, you know, the lipid nanoparticles, they knew block the ovaries. They damage the placenta. They suppress sperm motility and mobility and, you know, sperm count. They enter the baby in utero. They damage the reproductive systems of baby boys in utero. So we don't even know if those boys will turn out to be normal, you know, men with normal secondary sex characteristics. They have led to a 40% rise in maternal mortality in childbirth. They, you know, Pfizer knew that they cause miscarriage. There's an over 80% miscarriage rate in one section for Pfizer documents. Pfizer issued a report, an 8-page pregnancy and lactation report to the White House in April of 2021, showing that two babies died in utero upon their moms receiving the injection. And Pfizer said in the report this was due to maternal exposure to the vaccine. But they also have a chart of babies getting very sick from nursing the moms because the lipid nanoparticles and the polyethylene the PG, which coats it, polyethylene glycol, and the spike gets into breast milk. And, you know, so this chart shows babies vomiting, babies with fever, with swollen tissues, horrific outcomes. And a baby in the Pfizer documents died of nursing from convulsions. It also, you know, this chart, this report, which went to CDC, to Dr. Walensky, went to the White House, it showed tens of thousands of women being damaged menstrually in horrific ways. And it was just like, you know, the scientific chart, like a, you know, with entries, you know, 15,000 women having two periods a month, 10,000 women bleeding every day, 7,500 women, no periods at all, meaning totally infertile. You know, 10-year-old girls bleeding upon being injected, elderly women bleeding, women hemorrhaging, women passing tissue, like horrific life-changing damage from these injections. And of course, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that if women are having horrible menstrual problems, there's going to be fertility problems. And right. Now multiple government databases have been analyzed by Igor Chudov, a mathematician, and he's found a 13 to 20% drop in live births throughout the West, especially, and North America. And, you know, study after study after study, one from the Czech Republic, one from Israel, you know, we analyze data from a province in Canada. You know, all these independent studies are finding a dramatic drop in live births. There are a million missing babies in Western Europe. So Pfizer knew that they were giving an abortifacient, that they were giving an injection that would destroy fertility. And selectively, the negative side effects, the serious adverse events, are much higher in Western Europe and North America than they are in the rest of the world.
So, Naomi, this is horrifying what you're describing. But of course, our audience is also very, very sophisticated. So they know that a young girl is born with all the eggs that she will ever have her entire life, which means that we have to talk about transgenerational effects of these. So if a pregnant woman is pregnant with her daughter, then she, whatever is injected into her body, as you well know, you've spoken about this, affects at least two generations. Can you tell me what kind of conclusions have you been able to draw about the transgenerational effects of this for the survivors who were not yet killed by these injections? Can this go beyond two generations? What does it mean?
Well, I don't know the answer to that because, you know, our only evidence, you know, all that I speak to, all that I know is from the Pfizer documents. And they didn't ask that question. Except, you know, the one thing I'll kind of restate is that my colleague Amy Kelly did identify that they knew that the lipid nanoparticles were degrading the myelin sheath around the testes of baby boys in utero. And so that degrades the Sertoli cells and the Leydig cells, which generate the hormones that turn teenage boys into men. So that's, you know, future generations. We don't, as I mentioned, we don't know if those baby boys can be fertile, you know, like in addition to, will they have broad shoulders and deep voices and, you know, facial hair and all the things we associate with secondary sex characteristics for men. We don't, you know, we don't know if they will be able to father children. The transgenerational questions, in addition to that, really are being raised by people like Kevin McKernan, who has found DNA contamination in horrible DNA contamination in both Pfizer and Moderna. And he's pointing out that that has kind of unintended consequences down the road. It's changed human DNA. I think we don't know what it will result in, but we're not the same.
Wow, okay. So we are living through an experiment with unknown results. I have so many questions for you. Let me give out your website before I give you a follow-up question here, Naomi. It's dailyclout.io, and it should be an easy name to remember, dailyclout.io. Aaron Siri.io. Here's the site of all of your work and news here. And I encourage people to follow you there. And then on X, you are here at Naomi R. Wolf. That's N-A-O-M-I-R. And then Wolf with no E on the end or anything, just Naomi R. Wolf. And I encourage people to follow you there. Now, what, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to stir up trouble or anything, but are you frustrated with the administration's continued embracing of the sort of the success of the vaccines and not really paying attention to the things, you know, the concerns that you are raising and that others are raising about this? And Fauci's still walking around free, et cetera. Can you talk about your take on the political side of this a little bit?
Sure. You know, I don't think you're stirring up trouble because I've been very public about my concern about that. I've written a couple of essays about it on Outspoken. I worked hard to endorse RFK Jr. and, you know, his alliance with President Trump. And that was a big departure for me because I've been a Democrat my whole life. And I was a political consultant, actually, to the Clinton campaign and to Vice President Gore's campaign. So I really believe in this alliance, and they could do so much. The messaging from the White House is weird and chaotic. On the one hand, they call attention to problems with the mRNA injection, HHS does. On the other hand, their corrections to this disaster are so convoluted and have tremendous loopholes. For instance, they claimed that they were not recommending it anymore for pregnant women, but then my colleagues, Sasha Latipova and Dr. Mary Talley Bowden and Shannon Joy, looked at the language and found that, in fact, the injection was still being recommended for pregnant women. And to this day, at least a couple of days ago when I checked, the CDC website has a picture of a really pregnant woman, and encourages the language kind of obliquely encourages women to get all their vaccines, including the COVID vaccine, if they're pregnant, which is
incredible.
Anything if you're pregnant. But so knowing what they know by now, what's in that book behind us, the Pfizer papers, that it's even more unconscionable, for this administration to promote it than even the last one, who could argue that they didn't know, that they did know because these reports were delivered right to them.
Well, and I'm not sure.
No, I was just going to say, I don't get it. How can I put it? There's such a political appetite for accountability, certainly a political appetite for prosecuting Dr. Fauci, prosecuting Dr. Walensky. These people at the top, the head of HHS, all of these people knew exactly what they were doing. They knew the harm they were committing to the American people. So it is baffling because it would be a winning issue even for President Trump to embrace it. And sometimes he's come close, right? And then he backs away. So I know politics is treacherous. I know that Big Pharma funds both sides of the aisle. There's not going to be a lot of political appetite on the Hill for more than theater to slap the wrist of Pfizer, but it is depressing.
Go ahead. Let me add that even many Trump supporters are incredibly infuriated by Trump's inviting Pfizer, Andrew Bourla, inviting the pharmaceutical companies to come in. And basically, it seems like they're being offered kind of an amnesty if they agree to invest more money in the manufacturing of more pharmaceuticals in America.
Yeah.
And to someone like me, this is also infuriating because it's like that is, the answer to America's health problems and the infertility problems that you're mentioning is not let's make more vaccines and let's make more medications and let's call it reindustrialization.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's worse than cynical. This injection causes cancers and turbo cancers, and Pfizer bought a cancer vaccine company shortly before they rolled out the injection. It causes infertility, and the president and RFK Jr. are promoting pharmaceutical-based fertility treatments. It's gross. There's no rationalization for it. There's no justification for it.
Absolutely. And I think that you're going to find, well, I'm sure you found widespread agreement with what you just said across all the whole political spectrum. But for you in particular, as a lifelong Democrat, to come out and say these things, by the way, I just want to thank you for having the courage to, you know, cover the Pfizer papers and to say what you're saying. But how do we make, because you and I agree on these things, even though the history of our political leanings may not have full alignment, that doesn't matter in this issue, especially. How do we make this a universal human rights issue and transcend the political barriers?
Wow. I actually think this particular issue has transcended political divisions, at least in the United States. More and more polls show that a majority of Americans know someone who they believe has been damaged by the COVID injection. I think even over 50% of Democrats. So I don't think we're any more in the situation in which we were very uncomfortably in 2021, 2022, 2023, in which when I raised these concerns, all of my friends and loved ones on the left thought I was insane. and they only believed in a weird lockstep public health authorities and officials, which is so strange, right? Because liberals have a long history of knowing that, you know, big companies lie and
exactly,
you know, capitalist organizations seek profit and, you know, even the government doesn't always tell you the truth. So it was bizarre that liberals were so sure that this, you know, injection, which was rushed to market, was everything that they were told it was. I'll never understand it. So I think we're not in that same world anymore. In terms of the human rights issue, like the how can I put it, the accountability really remains very difficult. I mean, I think, you know, MAGA and MAHA together rode into the White House. This is my analysis as a political consultant, former political consultant. You know, respectfully, President Trump could not have been elected without MAHA. He just didn't have the right demographic. You need those swing voters, those white suburban women swing voters, whoever you are, in order to win the White House. And they joined the MAGA MAHA alliance. And that is an alliance that, if they don't blow it, could, you know, bring Vance into power and, you know, give us like decades of Republican leadership. But they're blowing it. They're sabotaging their own coalition. They're sabotaging their own constituency. The magic, this alchemical magic of these very different populations joining forces because the public health issues were overriding and the health of kids was overriding. So I think they have to course correct, even if it costs a lot of, you know, causes anger on the Hill, you know, from both sides. And there's a lot of room for accountability. I mean, number one, you have to get rid of the PrEP Act, which protects, as you know, pharmaceutical companies from liability from lawsuits. And that's easy to do. There are a number of good bills that have been introduced both on a state and federal level to roll back those impunities so that pharmaceutical companies can't roll out dangerous substances. You know, just like car companies can't just put something on the road that is going to kill people. So that's number one. I think that, you know, RFK Jr. raised an important solution of sorts when he said, let's ban pharmaceutical advertising direct to consumer. You know, we in New Zealand are the only two countries that do that. Well, the problem with that is it funds most of the media. Like CNN is their major funder is pharma. So you're not going to get, you know, balanced coverage of pharmaceutical products problems from the news media. That would help a lot. But what, you know, what HHS does a lot is launch a speech or a statement or a press release and then not follow up. So we still have pharma advertising, you know, to media. I don't see that that's changed. Then there's, you know, criminal law. I mean, this is a mass murder. You know, this is just a mass murder. I'm not overstating. It's a genocide. I mean, it's the number of people. Ed Dowd has estimated that 1 million Americans a month are identifying themselves as disabled. The excess deaths are in the, you know, multiple millions worldwide. This could be the greatest, you know, the greatest like murdering of people who were not otherwise dying in of the last 150 years numerically, maybe ever, right? Just because of the scale, I think 3/4 of the world's population got this injection.
So, yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I think some of Ed Dowd's estimates put it at over 20 million people globally were killed or died after taking these vaccines. The statistics are actually, the signal to noise ratio of the statistics is easy to identify at this point. Right. Very easy to see.
So, I mean, the remedy for that was supposed to have been, you know, President Trump taking office and our
right.
HHS. But, you know, short of that, it's why I keep saying they've got, you know, a couple of years to make it right, but they have to show accountability and traction on this issue or they will not regain, Republicans will not win the White House in 2028. I'm just putting it that way in the hopes that it will reach deaf ears because, you know, this victory cannot be reproduced if they don't take action on this and keep that coalition going.
I think you're absolutely correct in that. And I want to mention your book here, the Pfizer Papers. And I'm showing it on Amazon right here, the audiobook version, but it's available in many different formats at different booksellers everywhere. So be sure to, if you haven't yet reviewed this book or heard it, please do so. This is well worth your time. And I completely agree with you, Naomi, that RFK Jr. was, you know, he was the perfect teammate for Trump because he brought in a lot of centrists and a lot of Democrats who were very concerned about emergency use authorization, about Fauci fraud, about, you know, overreach of the pharmaceutical industry and the mandates. And mm-hmm. a lot of people on the right were concerned about, you know, the mandates, the lockdowns, the shutdowns. And the victory of Trump was supposed to put an end to all of that. We were going to see mass arrests. We were going to see an end. You know, medical choice was going to be a real thing. Mm-hmm. And now that's gone nowhere as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, there have been gestural, symbolic steps, but no one's in prison. You know, it really actually makes me sad to think about it. Senator Ron Johnson had a hearing, right? And he actually used our work without initially correct attribution, showing that there was a cover-up in April of 2021. That the White House knew that the injections were causing myocarditis and they concealed it. Well, all of that happened. You know, there was a hearing, people testified, it's all on the record now, and none of those people have been charged with any crime. So it does seem like a lot of theater, and it's demoralizing.
It does to me too. And I just want to say that on the record as well. And perhaps, I don't know how you feel in terms of the response from the public, but you are not alone by any means. You are not alone. Many, many former Trump supporters or even current Trump supporters or current RFK Jr. supporters feel exactly as you do. And this is going to be a pivotal issue, but I don't see the administration changing course because we have such a focus on getting everybody in the world to announce that they're going to build data centers or they're going to build pharmaceutical factories. That's the total focus at any cost. Like everything else is secondary.
Yeah, you're right. And it's clear why. I mean, at a certain point in July or August, it became clear that big tech and Silicon Valley were aligning with President Trump. And
yes.
They were like, okay, this is what's going to happen. We'll make it happen. Well, they're the same people who invested in the lockdowns and invested in the vaccines. Exactly the same people.
And who censored you and me.
Sorry?
And they're the same companies that censored you and me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. In fact, President Trump and I were plaintiffs in 2 lawsuits against our, you know, censoring us and denying our First Amendment rights. And that was Twitter, now X, and Google. And they settled with both of us. But now they're best friends with President Trump and, you know, building the data centers. And he's not going to go after, I mean, Google invested in vaccines. Zuckerberg invested in the vaccines, the mRNA vaccines. Microsoft's Bill Gates, you know, invested billions of dollars in the vaccines. It's the same cast of characters.
Yes, it is. And so let me ask you about the controversial idea of replacement theory, because You know, you mentioned the depopulation effects, the infertility effects. Bill Gates has spoken publicly about a decline of population over time being important, in his view, to save the world from humanity. That's my paraphrasing what he said. And then we have the, you know, we had the open borders for so many years, right? So all kinds of different people coming in while our people are being given injections that are killing many of them. It's hard not to think that there's something fishy going on here. But what's your take on it? I don't want to put words in your mouth on this. What do you think?
No, you're not putting words in my mouth. You know, I've said this many times. The smoke here, you're right. And it's not just something fishy. It's a gigantic, you know, massive agenda to essentially wipe out America and Canada and Western Europe and Australia and New Zealand, and you know, as functioning sovereign nations with constitutional rights and human rights, free speech, and kind of silence those nations by really killing off or sterilizing the local population, replacing it with people who come from some of the, you know, like I'm the daughter and granddaughter of immigrants. I don't, you know, I believe in legal immigration, but, you know, as much as a given country wants it. But the people who are being shipped by the millions, by the State Department and the UN, I traced the funding in the United States and, you know, by the EU and Europe, are from some of the worst places on earth. Failed states, you know, Somalia is a failed state. 92% of the women have been forced to have clitoridectomies. You know, Afghanistan, girls can't go to school. Pakistan, rural Pakistan, not urban Pakistan. You know, some tribal cultures that are just so horrific about human rights, about, you know, gay rights, about you know, women's rights. And these are also a lot of countries where people don't have an experience. Much of Latin America, you know, is run by gangs, right? So people are being shipped to North America and Western Europe from countries that don't have civil society or democracy. And so that's great for globalists because they don't want civil society or democracy. And those people are, you know, you can really see it in Britain. There's a two-tier justice system now in which those newcomers are being privileged and local people are being suppressed or sent to jail for tweets or, you know, their flags are being torn down. And we're about to, there's more and more of this happening in the U.S. as well. You know, thank God for President Trump, but that is the agenda. And I found a very big smoking gun, which is the injection, the Pfizer injection is not manufactured by a German company. We were told that, you know, BioNTech, which makes it for Pfizer, is a German company, but it's not. It's a German-Chinese company. And in 2021, BioNTech's SEC filing transferred the IP of the injection to China.
Wow.
Not a Chinese individual, not a Chinese company, but to the communist state of China. And China produced 1 billion doses, not for internal use. They use another kind of injection, but for export. And they built 11 manufacturing plants in Western Europe, 14 now in North America. And so when you get a Pfizer injection, you know, from beginning to end, formulation, packaging, distribution, it's all overseen by people who want us gone. As my husband put it, who spent his career in military intelligence, China wants our land, wants our water resources, wants our energy grid. They don't want our population. And so with the China and the globalists working together, and now what I would call the Red Green Alliance, others are calling it that, you know, fundamentalist Islam now working with Marxists, right, and globalists, it's a bad combination. The goal is, not the goal, it's underway, depopulating the West and replacing it with people who are more used to surf-like conditions.
Wow. So yeah, what you just outlined there is just bombshell after bombshell. And I love the way that you explained it so succinctly. And I want to ask you a follow-up on that very point. You mentioned, you know, China. China's really behind the manufacture of this vaccine that is being pushed by Pfizer, that's being celebrated by Trump. that is harming our country, killing millions of people over time, killing millions of Americans. And what about the eventual replacement of humans with AI, both cognitive AI agents for the white collar jobs and then AI driven robotics eventually for the labor replacement? Could that also be, in your view, one of the motivations for mass killing of the people?
Totally, without question. And it happened chronologically, right? First, they, you know, killed off the human population or sterilized it. And I'm not exaggerating. I was in Iceland, and Iceland has been a sovereign nation with a very distinct people for 1,000 years of recorded history. And they are all vaccinated, and they now have a 1.5 replacement rate. In other words, there will be no more Icelandic people over time,
wow,
right? If you can't bring up there.
And Japan, look at Japan's numbers too.
I'm not aware of them.
Demographic collapse post-vaccine.
Wow. Yeah. And then you got two years after the injection, you got the rollout of AI, which obviously has been, you know, ready for some time, right? So I think, you know, imagine if it was flipped around. What if you had a robust, not sick, not sterilized, not dying population and AI was launched? There would be a lot of resistance. But what we're seeing right now is like people being put into, especially the West, into a situation which they can't really effectively resist, even the most murderous plans, essentially, to replace them. They're worn out, they're exhausted, they're preoccupied, they're scared, they're freaked out. All of this is part of, you know, what communists call tenderizing the enemy or subversion, not just communists, it's a normal part of war. The difference is that, you know, it's being done with like pharmaceuticals and, you know, social media rather than bombs falling.
Right.
So I guess what is clear, I went to an AI conference in India where they're very excited about it because like the globalists have clearly kind of decided the West will be wiped out and India and China will run everything. Right? So it paradoxically in India, people are being raised or taught to embrace AI and learn how to run it, basically be the ones running it. A different message than in the US where people are just being told, you're gonna, you know, it's gonna be replaced and there's nothing you do about it. It's too mysterious for you to understand. But for sure, like they were very clear, these experts, you know, from the heart of AI policy and production, they said, we're going to have a future in which, you know, instead of 100 workers, you're going to have, you know, 99 robots and one guy to run the robots, you know, on the shop floor. And so, you know, useless eaters, like they don't need humanity anymore. The oligarchs and the technocrats, they were just a problem. And I'm not surprised that the depopulation was launched before the AI implementation was launched.
Well, when I used to talk about depopulation a few years ago, got all kinds of pushback. Today, not so much. People are seeing it. So thank you for that explanation. Mm-hmm. And also, Naomi, I just want to say, I really have a newfound understanding of your position and your courage. And it's a great opportunity to be able to speak with you like this. Because I obviously my understanding of your work was a little bit fuzzy, and now you're filling in the gaps, and I'm so grateful that you're doing this. Tell our audience how they can learn more from you. You know, your website, dailyclout.io. What kinds of things do you offer that people can participate in or ingest as information to help you achieve your mission of sounding the alarm and maybe stopping this, if that's possible?
Thank you. Well, we can stop it. I'm a big believer in democracy and getting people's hands on democracy. I saw firsthand as a political consultant that bad things happened when citizens couldn't read the laws or change the laws and weren't in the room. So we have two amazing tools. One of them is called BillCam, BillCam.com. One of them is called Legisector, Legisector.com. And you can go there and search state or federal bills, share them through social media. You get AI summaries of what the bills say, but you also get the bill text. And if you are in an industry like one of 27 industries like real estate or energy or cannabis or healthcare, or even if you're in a nonprofit or you just care about issues, you can get a dedicated portal for the bills in that sector. So I really encourage people to use this. People have used BillCam to launch great bills and stop bad bills and warn people about bills. And it really doesn't take a lot of engagement to stop a bill or to launch a bill or, you know, advance a bill, because it all happens in public. You know, the people who sponsor it can't hide, because it's all out there. So, you know, there are some great anti-vaccine impunity bills, as I mentioned. You can pass them. There are great geoengineering bills. You can pass those. There are great EMF bills, like all the things you care about. You know, wonderful anti-EMF bills. You could pass those. And, you know, free speech. You can pass bills that protect our speech. There are horrible attacks on, you know, free speech going on right now in this country. President Trump, you know, to some extent has to follow an empowered electorate. So does RFK Jr. So does Congress. And this is the tool that these are the tools I created after seeing how disempowered citizens were to empower them. So that is the best way you can go save the country.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you for making those tools available. And, you know, I'll just add to that. We've developed and launched our own AI engine that's trained on this kind of information that's fully aligned. You know, it's the only AI engine that will probably answer a question about vaccines the way you and I talk about it. And so sometimes, you know, we have to seize control for humanity. I mean, we have to learn how to use this technology for humanity, which is really about decentralizing it, putting it into the hands of many people. And like you, I'm a humanitarian, and I believe that women's rights are human rights, and human rights are critical. And if we do not stop this mass death killing machine, then our future will be very dark. Is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up, Naomi?
No, you've covered it all. You've been very generous. Thank you. Well, I guess people should order the book, the Pfizer Papers.
Pfizer Papers, yes. Well, thank you so much for your time. Website again is dailyclout.io. And Naomi, we really appreciate you. God bless you. Thank you for all that you're doing. And you are, you're welcome here anytime. Have a great
thank
rest
you
of
so
your day.
Much. Thank you, you too.
All right. Take care. All right. That was Dr. Naomi Wolf, everyone. And just what an incredibly courageous voice for truth about what's happening with vaccines. And thank you for watching today. Share this interview on other websites and platforms. You have my permission to do so. And sound the alarm, because it's not okay that Trump is still in bed with Pfizer, can we say, inviting, you know, Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg over for a White House dinner. You know, come on, we got to do better than that. So put the pressure on Trump, put the pressure on RFK Jr. Say, we got to outlaw the mRNA. We got to stop the PrEP Act. We've got to end direct-to-consumer drug advertising. And that's a great starting point. And there's a lot more we can do, but we can start right there. So thank you for watching today. Mike Adams here at Brighteon.com. Take care.
Mother Nature provides many botanicals for good health. That's why we're offering you 5 liquid extracts and tinctures that are non-GMO, certified organic, and lab-tested for glyphosate, heavy metals, and microbiology. Only at HealthRangerStore.com.